This is Dottie Pepper, and you're listening to Radio Golf Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to RotoFest 19. 19 it is. We'll have our fifth year anniversary in September. And I believe our second guest was Mr. Ogren, who was with us tonight again. You were on the show in, I believe it was October 2020, with Hinrich Arkenau, the German pro who at the time was on the Challenge Tour and is now the head of the Lower Saxony Golf Federation. So, yeah, all works out.
Wow.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the new improved RotoFest with categories instead of picking players only once. It's more important for us to find out why these experts that we have on every time, why they pick somebody instead of who they pick, I think. And on the panel tonight, we have from Iceland, in the sweltering Icelandic heat of 18 degrees Celsius, I believe, Mr. Adi Olafsson. We have from Holland, fresh from a tournament today, where he shot, well, he'll tell us about it, Stuart Brother Burley, from Texas, where I don't even know what the temperature there is. We have David Ogren, who, and maybe he'll tell us why he never played in an Open. And we have Malcolm Duck joining us in about 10 minutes. He just got off the golf course. He's kind enough to phone in and tell us that he would be late, but he will be here as well. The categories on the block today are the top five betting favorites, past champions, debutantes. I was happy I found that word. Amateurs, eh. Then we have the Asians in honor of Ted Long, who is thrilled but not here. Then we have GB and I, an old nod to the old Ryder Cup. The Scandi Hooligans, always a fun category. And then the Wild Card, which is a pretty impressive list. We will start with the top five betting favorites. They are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Bryson, and Xander Schauffele. Mr. Olafsson, why don't you lead us off today with category number one and tell us who your favorite is in this group?
Yeah, thank you, Frank. I mean, I think, I don't know if you have looked at the weather forecast for the week, but it looks like the Thursday could just be rained off with thunderstorms and like a lot of rain. But that means the course is going to play a little bit longer, going to be wet. And but I mean, even though we'll be playing hard and rolling course, I would always choose Rory. Came second in the Scottish. My favorite to win the tournament this time. I mean, you don't want to win the Scottish, but you want to exactly do that, be up right there.
Yeah, there you go. Rory, right off the block. It looks like he's made it through the hangover from the career Grand Slam. Brother Burley, what are your sentiments in this category?
Well, I mean, obviously, you've got to go for Rory first, haven't you? Because, I mean, it's he knows the course so well. I think the pressure was taken off a little bit with the Masters, so you've got to put money on him. But I'm going to go, seeing that it's already taken,
I'm going to go. You can go Rory as well. Absolutely.
Rory as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. Rory then. Yeah, great.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I didn't know about Rory and about this golf course is when he was 16 years old, he shot 61 course record at 16 at Royal Portrush. I did not know this. It was sent to me by my good friend Michael Basche. He shot 28-33 at age 16, Royal Portrush.
I think I could shoot 61 there if I just played 14 holes.
Yeah, there you go. 14. That's pretty impressive. No, he came home in 28. I'm sorry. Went out in 33. But again, for 16-year-old, and there's a picture of him, and he looks like he's 16. He's wearing a Titleist hat, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, so two Rorys. Mr. Ogren, welcome to the program. You, I believe, are not going for Rory.
Well, you're wrong.
No.
So, you know, in the top five betting categories, I actually did a little bit of homework. I had my first day of PGA Junior Camp today here. This morning we had 26 kids, and so I'm a little bit like shell shocked and camp hungover. But I did a quick ranking of the five, and the way I ranked them. So if it was ranked choice voting, which is probably our next evolution, I had McIlroy, Scheffler, Xander, Bryson, and Rahm in that order of those five. So I just think the X factor in the whole thing, the thing that pushed Shano over the last time, I think might push Rory over this time.
Yeah.
Just that home court, the historic nature of it. I think he's up to the task. I think this week proved that he's playing well enough.
Ireland, just Ireland. I mean,
yeah.
It's gonna play some part.
Yeah, and Chef looks a little frustrated.
Yeah. He's showing emotion.
So,
love it.
A little bit. Anyway, and I do think and again they've done okay in major championships, but I just do think the LIV thing has slightly eroded the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we had three Rorys. We will see what Malcolm has to say. I'm going to go contrarian here. I'm going to go with John Rahm, and I believe he wants to show everybody he deserves to be. He must be on the Ryder Cup team. I'm sure he will be, but he played well in a couple of majors this year, and I think he might just do it. It's his time again. Oh, a little curveball there. What's going on in baseball, David? How are your Cubs doing?
It's all-star break. They're in first place up by a game on the Milwaukee Brewers, who I think have better pitching, but the Cubs offense is really, really good.
I'm going to call the Subway
Series. They took two out of three from the Yankees in New York. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. But I'm still calling for a Subway Series in October.
That'd be fine.
Absolutely. Well, who doesn't like that? But the Red Sox, again, I think they just went 10-0. Always got to pay attention for them. John Rahm for me, please. David, you never played in an Open in your illustrious career. Why is that, or why was that?
Well, when I was playing in the United States, we always had a very good tournament opposite. And I needed to protect my status on the PGA Tour more than hop over there and try to play a British Open. Most of those weeks were spent in Quad Cities at the various variations of what's now the John Deere Classic. And I don't regret it at all. I did try to come over, qualify twice, try to qualify for Troon. In 1982, the Nick Price Troon, and my qualifying course was Prestwick St. Nicholas, just kicked my butt, just buried me. And then in 91, I came over in the middle of my slump for some reason, and I went out and I shot like 80 the first round of the qualifying. And I think I was out of qualifying after two drives. Mm-hmm. I think I hit two drives on the beach, and I was done for. So
there you go. But it has nothing. You don't have a dislike for links golf.
I'm not gonna say that I have totally experienced links golf. I did play the Senior Open Championship at Troon,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really get the hang of it. I just Never quite got the hang of it. What a good golf course, Troon. Also, Troon's where I hit the longest drive in my competitive career.
Yeah.
16, we caught 16 downwind, and I hit one that it must have caught the downslope of the second burn out there, and it just slung forward. 550 hole, I had 140 for my second shot. So,
Persimmon, Ballada Ball?
No. This is a senior tour.
Oh, okay.
This is 2008 or 2007, 2008.
This is so you hit it what 400 yards?
410.
410.
But who's counting?
Yeah, you are. Great stuff.
Driver pitching wedge, stuff we see all the time now.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. The next category, gentlemen, is the past champions. And here we have obviously a wide field. From Stuart Sink and Clark and Els, Harmon, Harrington, Zach Johnson, Justin Leonard is playing, Phil is playing, Francesco Molinari will be there, Colin Morikawa, Louis, Cam Smith, Jordan Spieth, and Henrik Stenson. We'll roll it around the snake way. David, do you give any of these guys a chance?
Well, I kind of ranked these guys, right? And again, I kind of did this. If this was ranked choice voting, here is the way I have them. Colin Morikawa, Brian Harman, Cam Smith, trash.
Wow.
Right? Well, thinking in terms of who could win the championship, right?
Yeah.
So Colin Morikawa, great iron player. He's been a little bit in a funk. I don't know what him and Rick Sessinghaus are talking about these days. But he's capable of just ball striking his way to a championship. Brian Harman has surprised us once when nobody thought he had enough stones to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He had plenty of stones and got it done. And Cam Smith is still Cam Smith. What he did at St. Andrews was amazing. But nobody else on that list in terms of winning the championship would be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. You might need a couple of guys to make a nice cut or something, but nobody's really going to, by the way, where's Shane on this? Or is he down in the GBI part?
Where's Shane? That's a very good question. Why isn't Shane Lowry on here? Huh.
Shane,
I forgot. He should be on there.
He should be on that list right there.
Absolutely.
He shouldn't be on the GBI list.
Well, he's not on the GBI either.
Yeah. So Shane-O should be on this list. And so I'll put him fourth, and then everybody else is trash.
So who? Yeah. So I assume you're going with Colin.
Yeah, I'd go with Colin of the people on this list. Yes.
There you go. Okay. Before you guys go, Adi and Brother Burley, I'm gonna pick some trash. I'm gonna go for Mr. Spieth, who just became a father again. I like those kind of stories. I think he's playing well enough to. Well, he's not really playing well, but I always liked the way he played. Those courses and his imagination, and I think it might be a good story. I would love to see Colin do well, obviously, but I don't think. I think it's Colin and then trash, basically. But I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth, Brother Burley. You must have some insight here. We've got some interesting people.
Yeah, well, I think David hit the nail on the head. I think Colin Morikawa, I mean, he came over, played the Scottish Open. Brian Harman seemed to be a little bit in the picture last weekend.
Yep, yep.
So, I mean, you can't put anything past Brian Harman. I mean, especially if it turns bad weather again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Brian Harman.
Well, there you go.
I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's got a chance of doing well.
There you go. Okay. Well, you think Rory's going to win, obviously.
Yeah.
But Harman, yes. And
is Portrush particularly long?
I don't really know.
You know, nobody really knows because all those links courses look the same. Every hole looks the same length. It goes out there in a cloud of dust, bounces around for a while, and is it in or out of a pot bunker?
Well, I talked to Malcolm before the Scottish, and he's and when it was raining and everything. But you know, those things dry out so quickly, and then the rough is so much juicier. It's not none of that you know that long hay that you can slash it out of. But I think you know, I mean, you always think with a wet golf course that the long hitters have an advantage, but then you have, and I'm going to call Brian Harman a pea shooter. He's not one of the longest guys on tour.
Go back to a year ago, and we had the bad weather, strong winds, and I don't remember this, but I mean, on the back nine, quite a few of the players were struggling to reach the par fours in two. You know, so I think it comes to this point where you know that you got par fours playing as par fives for everyone, even Scheffler couldn't get on in two. You know, so it does come down to that thing of you know who's going to get up and down the most in those situations.
So Brian Harman would be the best lefty in the world at this moment.
Is that fair to say? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. There you go. Who would have thought that? Mr. Olafsson.
Yeah, the name definitely is a lot of
I know you're going Europe.
yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course you're going Europe.
before I got the name Shane, I was actually looking at the other Irish guy, Patrick Harrington. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He stays so fit and he is such a good shape and he loves it. He is gonna I don't believe any one of those guys gonna win the tournament. But I think Patrick is gonna put up some show and be have fun with the media and he's gonna make the cut and he's gonna hopefully be up there. But if Shane is there, Shane is I mean, remember the stress he had in the US Open, forgetting to mark his ball even. I mean, you can see how what the things that did to you, and that's unbelievable. Now, I think if that's okay, he's not on the list, but if I had to shoot the
Absolutely.
lottery,
My
that
bad.
would be my pick number one. He's a European, he's a radical player. I love that guy, he's unbelievable good. He knows his conditions as well as Rory as well. So, yeah, Shane is my pick.
Jane Lowry is the pick, Mr. Olafsson. Yeah, have you ever seen anything like that? We forgot to mark the ball. I mean,
This is just stress. This is a pure stress. I mean, there's so much going on. It's so difficult. And then just you'll get a blackout, complete blackout. You don't know where you are, what you're doing. You just pick up this ball. I mean, I think we all done a little stupid things like that, playing golf sometimes.
Did you guys think that that the US Open at Oakmont was a borderline unplayable?
No.
No,
No.
I totally
It
agree.
was
Very good.
unplayable. There was no borderline about it, Frank.
No, really.
No, there's no borderline about it. But you know, there's a lot of this, that, and the other said about this, and I haven't had a chance to make my observation, but I have two observations. Number one, I could distinctly remember Tom Meeks of the USGA saying at a USGA Open at Oak Hill in Rochester. When we had torrential rains, and the quote was, "The rules of golf have ample provision for all circumstances." Number two, I didn't hear this aspect asked about, but if you take relief from casual water, you have to take relief. You have to go someplace where it's dry. And the rules of golf, I still. Common area or through the green, whatever they're calling it now, right? I think his dry spot might have been in the secondary cut, in the first cut, or maybe even in the deep cut. And I haven't heard this discussed at all because in the end, I think he decided to play it. I guess he was basically told to play it. But I do think there's a consideration that I didn't hear discussed that if he did take relief, he'd have to go someplace that wasn't better.
You're talking about Sam Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the rules. I mean, do you have to take you don't have to take relief if you don't want,
No,
but
you don't. You play the ball wherever you
yeah,
want,
right.
but if you take relief from casual water, now it's what it's called, accidental water. What do they call it now?
I don't know.
It's called not my
Temporary water.
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Temporary water.
It's called something that I didn't call it when I was playing. But if you take relief, you got to take relief. It
Right.
was casual water earlier, always.
Right. And
Yeah.
on the PGA Tour, oftentimes we'd play lift, clean, and place, right? And it would be something that I had to get. I actually got on a couple of guys about playing lift, clean, and place. The whole fairway is a puddle. It's not like lift, clean, and go to someplace a little bit better. It's you got to take relief. And the first cut I made on the tour, I had to hit a shot on my 54th hole at Pebble Beach, as actually Spyglass Hill, where I had 200 yards uphill, and the only thing I could do was tee it up in the puddle and hit it because my relief was up in the deep grass on the brow of the bunker.
There you go. Speaking of lift, clean, and place, has anybody in Scotland ever played lift, clean, and place? Mr. Duck, welcome to the program. Mr. Duck? Is Mr. Duck here?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. How are
Can
you?
you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Sir, how are you?
Cool, I'm not bad. Apologies for being late. I was
No, it's quite all right.
the everybody and his dog wants to play Renaissance the day after the Scottish Open. So
So you did.
I had a great pleasure with playing with a guy some of you guys might know, DJ Russell. DJ played in the European Tour for many years. Thank you. Vice captain, Ryder Cup. Five, six times, great friend of Woozie's. So, and he was player's rep on the PGA for many years. So, we decided we weren't young enough to play from the back tees. It was great. Great tournament.
Yeah.
So, Malcolm, there's
So
two
good to
kinds
be
of players. So, Malcolm, there's two kinds of players. There's a player who's doing
What's
this.
that?
There's two kinds of players in a match. Players are going like this, and players who are going like this. Somebody who's paying, somebody who's collecting.
What happened with you and DJ?
Oh, I'm with you. And you know what? They were four up, then we halved on the 18th. Oh, we halved on the
Oh,
18th.
no. In America, we don't tie. There's no ties in America.
there's a
Yeah, you guys do all sorts of strange things in America. I mean, you give putts from 90 yards away. We had a very nice pileup of DJ's American guy, and he was, is that good? It's 15 freaking feet away. No, DJ had won about 6 inches. We didn't give him, and he got it. But who was the last chairman of Augusta?
What?
He was the last chair of Augusta. His name
Red
will come to
ribbon?
me. Anyway, sorry?
Pain.
Yeah, Billy Payne.
Oh yeah.
Billy Payne.
We're I was playing with him at Renaissance 16th, and he hits it into 4 feet. And he says, in Augusta, we call that chairman good. And the other two Augusta guys said, 15 feet, freaking chairman good. We took a few paces, and I said, Billy, we're in Scotland. That's downhill with a break. And he missed the putt, and I haven't been to Augusta. He was a wonderful guy. I tell you what, a man with presence, and a great guy. Anyway, I thought it was quite funny. Yeah,
You
no, we and again, going back to the very first medal we played at Renaissance with Jerry Savati, who's got the club going to where it is. First medal, one of the Scottish guys knocks up to about 4 inches. Jerry knocks it away. We look at each other. It's a medal, Jerry. You have to haul out. But just on Jerry's Saturday night, we had a big concert, and he was there. He's not really into concerts, and he was tearing up a little bit. What he's done in that golf course to take something 20 years to have a tournament like that. I think it's the best field outside a major, vying with the players. and probably better field than the Masters, given that Masters is a small field and a lot of the older guys are playing. Quite something to develop that club and that course in quite a short space of time. And I don't know what you guys felt, but I don't see the pictures because I'm looking after the front nine and all the stewards and marshals, so I'm running around in a buggy, so I'm not really seeing very much. I'm more looking at the security guys, making sure their players are okay. But I don't know. Did you enjoy the tournament? Did you watch it?
I watched it. I enjoyed it very much, and I was going to ask you. Watching it, I thought to myself, and I know that stretch, having spent a lot of time in Edinburgh, and playing some of those courses. How did you guys feel? I mean, and that stretch of courses, from Musselburgh, Gillon, the whole thing. When in 2008, this guy Tom Doak comes along and builds a new golf course into those golf courses that are 100 years old, was that like a shock moment? And then when you saw it, you were like, "Wow, that fits in here." Or do you re recall your reaction to that whole thing when it came about?
Yeah, I mean, Craigie Law was built a couple of years before, and then Archerfield, DJ Russell designed Archerfield. He's done Machree because DJ's doing a lot of design now. He's doing something else, but he won't tell me where it is. And he did a lot of stuff with Woozie. So we'd already had Craigie Law and Archerfield. And I think what Tom's done is, people like different architects in different ways, but he really looked at Muirfield, North Berwick, and St Andrews. And he'll say you see a lot of that in Renaissance, and I would agree with that. It's got some of the views of King's Barnes, and it's got some of the quality of Muirfield. Muirfield's just the best golf course in the world. It's just phenomenal. There's no such thing as a good hole at Muirfield. They're all better than that. There's no weakness. I mean, the 18th at Muirfield's a field. It's one of my favorite holes in golf. Is it just because it's so simple as a design? But you got to hit the ball in the right place. The two bunkers left and right are just in the right place where your drive's finishing, keeping out of them, and then a green that's sloping into you receiving, but the bunkers are just in the right place to have to clear them. Wonderful golf course. So no, I think it's everyone's a bit surprised, three new golf courses, but I think it's pretty well settled down in the area, and they've got a foundation that gives money to local groups and charities and so on. So it's a kind of clash of America and Scotland, which is quite amusing. And some of the American stuff's great, and some of it's not. Some of the Scottish stuff's great, and some of it's not. But we're trying to take the best of all worlds. And I think the players are beginning to enjoy it. I think they don't want to come to new golf course all the time. And I think Patrick Harrington's been doing a lot of just trying to get with players feel and feeding that back into Jerry and Tom. So yeah, I know it's still only 20, very young, and it's evolving. Someone said the other night, it'll host an open. It'll never host an open. We've got Muirfield next door. Why would you put an open at Renaissance when you've got Muirfield next door? Muirfield's the open home. It's one of the three clubs that started the Open. So I just think the RNA should put the Open back at Muirfield pretty quickly. I don't quite know what their beef is. I know they may need a few changes. Driving range may be too short, but these kind of things can be changed. Yeah, I know I mean, we're talking today about it. I mean, this stretch of coast in Scotland's Gulf Coast and East Lothian is phenomenal. I mean, it's the same around Troon. The stretch of right from Prestwick right the way through to Irvine, just non-stop golf course, and they're great. You look at the Highlands, some great stuff coming out there now. Trump's new second course looking to be pretty good. All around Aberdeen, great courses. Tom Doak's done another course up old Petty up beside Castle Stewart. There's a nice concentration there now. Dornoch is building a third course. And they've still got the Struy and Dornoch and a par three course. So it's coming on well. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly made a name for itself with this tournament being there, and I think it's going to be there for a while longer. And I just love the way Scottish people say the word renaissance. It's not renaissance, it's a renaissance.
Well, that's again interesting because it's a French word, which is Renaissance, but we talk about the
It
Renaissance period of art.
is. Yeah,
So
absolutely.
again, for one, yeah,
Absolutely.
the
Malcolm.
Americans call it,
Yeah.
we
Well,
call it Renaissance, but again, annoys me, but the Americans are right. It is Renaissance. It should be Renaissance.
yeah, there you go. Let's catch you up on the Rotofest. We have picked the everybody has picked from the top five betting favorites. We have three Rorys and one Rahm. So
I think I've been watching Rory this week. I'm going Rory. I think he's got his mojo back.
Ooh, see, this is inside the ropes kind of stuff that we got. What makes you think
I
he's
think
got his mojo back?
he didn't have the best day on the first day, but it didn't seem to faze him. He looked pretty relaxed around the golf course. He didn't putt wonderfully on Sunday, but he played tee to green really, really well. I'm not saying he's not trying hard, but the focus must be the Open. He's one past defending champion there, but he played very, very, very well. So if he's relaxed and confident, and in a good place,
There you go.
argument is he the best golfer out there right now? Scotty's had on been on a really good run that can only last so long. Yes, Xander would be the other one I would look at. I wouldn't be looking at Jon Rahm. I wouldn't be looking at DeChambeau. Xander played not badly, and I off that lot, I would go with Rory.
There you go.
And
So
it's home for him as well.
four Rorys and a Ram. That could be this could be winning it for me already. We don't even have to pick anymore. Past champions, Malcolm. We just finished this category, and Shane Lowry is not on this list. Obviously, he should be, and you can pick him if you want. But we have one Lowry, one Harmon, one Morikawa, and one Jordan Spieth in this group so far. So you pick you here, and then we're all caught up.
I'm going to go way out on an outside bet, and I'm going to go with Padraig.
I knew it was coming.
I'm going to go with Padraig. He looked pretty relaxed as well, and again, it's home. He knows links golf.
Well,
Colin Morikawa, I mean, that's hard not to go for him.
yep.
Again, he was, I tell you, really impressed the way he signed the kids' autographs and spent a lot of time out there with the kids after the rounds. What a good chap he is.
Yeah.
Really went up in my estimation the way he gave of himself, not off the golf course. Very relaxed, in good form. So if I was a proper head, I would go with him, but I'm just going to go on an outside bet.
I love it. I
Give
love
you
it.
guys a
And
chance to beat me.
there you go. And Colin's still a young man, so good to hear that he's doing that. We are next is a new category, the debutantes, and these are some people. It's fun for me to look at these names. Some names that you've never, Mikia Akutsu. I mean, John Axelson, and these are guys that I've never heard of before. But there are some big guys in there. Max Greizerman is in
I'm
there.
going to go with Kimsey.
Harry Hall is in there, and who else is in there? A second is.
Nathan Kimsey.
Yeah, wait a second. There's this goes on the second page. JJ Spawn is in there. So there is some big names in here. And we'll go with Mr. Olafsson in this category here.
This
First.
is a kind of thing. I mean,
Yeah,
I thought I knew a lot of players until I saw that list.
yeah.
That's a fun sort of guys, but you very kind of put in some Scandinavians as well, so
Yeah. There's a
yeah,
couple, and Niklas Norgaard is one of them that's doing
exactly.
pretty good.
And of course, Nicholas is going to be my pick. Nicholas
Is it?
is fine.
There you go.
Nicholas, yeah.
Niklas Norgaard for Mr. Olafsson, who's putting together another European team here with Rory, Lowry, and Norgaard.
Yeah, I always
Good
have this strategy. It's not going to change.
for you, Mr. Burley.
Just before we go, because
Yeah.
we were talking about the course, and it's like 7,400 yards, which is about 6,600 600, 700 meters, which is quite long. And if the weather forecast is gonna, or whether it's gonna be like the forecast is, then it's gonna play long as well.
Are you familiar with Portrush, Malcolm? Oh, here we go.
I've not played it, but I've spent quite a lot of time on it at night.
All right.
My former career was in the Royal Marines, and I spent quite a lot of time working in Ireland, and you'd be amazed what goes on in the golf course in the middle of the I need to go and play it, but I've not played it. I've heard wonderful things about it, but
Mr. Burley, who is your debutante? Who are you taking to the ball?
Well, I mean, I've been thinking about it because I was looking at, I was very impressed with Marco Penge, but I don't know whether he's played the Open before, and he's not on this list, but maybe he comes later.
I believe he's played.
Oh yeah, okay. But I kind of thought about it, and I was quite impressed in one sense, but also a little bit unimpressed in another sense. Harry Hall, I thought, he's quite impressive as a player, but he kind of looks like a Temu Tom Weisskopf, kind of So I'm going to go for Harry Hall.
Harry Hall. absolutely. Very, very good pick. Mr. Ogren.
Well, I think that's a very good explanation. So I again, if I'm going to do this like ranked choice voting kind of thing, I ask the question, who keeps showing up on leaderboards and what are they doing and doing well? And I had four names at the top of my list: Harry Hall,
Wow. Yeah.
Timu Watson. I like that. He just got glossed.
Yeah.
Greiserman's been up there a lot. He had his heart broken up there in Detroit, and JJ it just automatically goes into a different category. Just because he wins the United States Open. So, he does have a big trophy. And what a story that would be to hold them both. And then Kevin Yu had showed up on the leaderboard a lot
Wow.
in different places. So stealing one from Ted, those are my four that I would pick, with Harry Hall being my pick.
There you go, Harry Hall, Mr. Duck.
Harry Hole played pretty well last week. Come down a bit. Where was I looking at? I like as well. Go further so I can see the beginning.
Oh, sorry.
Where's that going? Nathan Kimsey, I quite like. I'm going to go with Nathan Kimsey.
Nathan Kimsey. See, this, and this, you have some, when they show him on TV, I'm like, that's the guy Malcolm picked. Very cool. I would have to go, I'm not, just from the name, I would go for Riki Kawamoto. Because that's got it. It's a pretty cool name. But circled one of the first, the second guy I circled on this whole thing was Harry Hall. So I'm going Harry as well. The Timo Weisskopf. This is great. And out of nowhere. I mean, and he's he's ranked. Is he in the top 100 yet? He's definitely close,
Sure.
but.
Did well at the PGA, US PGA.
Yep. Andrew Novak, obviously also a good player, David.
Yes.
Right? He should
Yeah.
definitely be making the cut. The amateurs, and let's move through this category quickly. I'll go first. I'm just going straight for Cameron Adam because he's from Scotland, and I think for the amateurs. A guy that knows links golf instead of coming from the Cayman Islands, I think you got to have a pretty good shot. Malcolm, who is your amateur?
Well, I've got to go Scotland, haven't I?
You go.
I've got to go Cameron Adam.
Okay.
Is he?
Again, I don't know.
I don't even know
about
how
these
old
guys,
he is.
but
I know nothing about him. Is he? The guy on the list is Richard Teeter guy from Estonia. Did you see the chip in he made in the playoff to get into the Open?
Yeah, amazing.
Wow, that was incredible from Estonia. We got a guy from the Czech Republic. We got Filip Jakubčík. No Germans. Actually, no continental Europeans at all. If I look at this, well, Czech Republic. Geography and Estonia. Geography. Not my strong point, obviously. David, you are. You got one American amateur, Ethan Fang. Who are you going with in this category, sir?
I only saw one name that I thought would have a chance of making the cut and possibly nudging close to the leaderboard, and that's Justin Hastings.
Justin Hastings from the Cayman Islands.
He just got an exemption into the Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Since I get the updates from Bermuda Championship.
Yeah. From the Barracuda to the Bermuda.
And what would be really, really interesting or cool, what would be really cool is if Teeter did make the cut.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great story. But I just think that of those players, Justin Hastings, he literally has the most experience of the group.
Yep. There you go. Mr. Burley.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Ethan Fang, I'm afraid.
You're going Fang.
Yeah. I got it. I just love the name.
Me too. With the H in position number two. Fang.
I'd love the Richard Taylor thing. I think it's a really good story, but I kind of think he's reached his apex.
Yeah.
He's just happy to play.
Well,
does he have a chance to beat DFL?
But these amateurs, there could be a big swing between like 20 over and even par. You know, there's a big category.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Olafsson, what do you say to the amateurs?
So it's interesting with the amateurs. It's not many of them are even on the world ranking. So we don't find them actually. I'm definitely going for Filip Jakubčík. He is the highest ranked at the moment. I think he's a really good player. And if you get it to the seventh in the world ranking of the amateurs, you are quite good. You are really, really good player.
Yeah, you got
and,
it.
And yeah, so no, that's definitely Filip is the best. Because I don't find even Cameron Adams, I don't find him on the world ranking. World ranking is something that is not everybody's, after, but it gets you into a tournament. Like if you are like Filip Jakubčík, he get into it because he's not the seventh in the world ranking, so he doesn't have to qualify. He gets to the final qualifying for the Open. So that kind of stuff that you get if you're up there.
If Ted were here, we'd be getting a half-hour lecture on amateur rankings now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's not. But we come to Ted's favorite category, the Asians. And we have Japan, China, South Korea, and Thailand. Four guys from Japan, including Hideki. We got Tao Teng Lee, who's won a couple of times on the European Tour. And then we have the South Koreans from Ben An to KJ Choi, Sung Jae-im, Tom Kim, to one guy from Thailand, whose last name I dare not try to pronounce. Those are the Asians in the group. And every time I think of Asians in the Opens, I got to remember the sands of Nakajima at the road hole in St. Andrews, where his caddy with his arms over his head just couldn't watch it anymore, how Tommy tried to get the ball out. Mr. Duck, who do you like in the Ted Long category?
Yeah, it's 57, Hideki Matsuyama.
Matsuyama.
Yeah, I think he's, I
don't. The best one there. Yeah.
Mr. Lee would be a choice. No, I think I'm going to stick there.
You're going to go with Hideki. Japanese haven't done too well in the Open, but if anybody can do it, I would think it's Hideki. David, what about you?
Again, I looked through the list, and Hideki has been kind of off form a little bit. But he's also really darn good, so he could find his form in a minute. And I know Hontong Lee has showed up a couple times.
Yeah.
But I did my ranked choice voting here is Im Kim An.
Who?
Im Kim An.
Ben An.
No, I'm taking Sungjae Im first.
Oh, Sungjae Im.
Then Tom Kim, then Ben An.
Well, you got to take one. So you're taking Sungjae?
I'm taking Im.
Yeah. Him. Not Kim.
Him.
I'm taking him. I think.
You know, speaking of Tom Kim, by the way.
Yeah.
I think there's a piece of his personality that I wish would serious up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he got just a little more serious about it. A little more clinical, I think he could blow the top off of it, but I'm not sure that's in him.
Yeah, there was an interesting piece about him on the first Netflix thing on the Full Swing. I think it was at the Masters, maybe where he was almost in contention. Also, a very young guy and terrific player.
Yes,
Brother Burley.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm excited.
I kind of a little bit agree with David, but there is something about Tom Kim that I really like. I think it's also kind of the fact that you can be that flippant and maybe a little bit casual about things at that level. I think it's quite special. So I'm going to go Tom Kim.
Tom Kim. Very nice. Mr. Olafsson.
Yeah, I'm going to do it like in the Chinese restaurant. I'm going to say 61.
You're on fire. You're going Sungjae also. 61, please. There
61.
There you go. It's middle of the menu. Middle, right on the cut line of the menu. Jesus. I'm going to go for the guy from Thailand. If you remember, gentlemen, he finished, I believe, top 10 St. Andrews. Out of 65 on the last day. So I'm going 64. Sadom Kaikwanyana from Thailand. I'm going 64. Sadom. Now we get to an excellent category. And there's a lot of heavyweights in here, which is the GB&I. We're going from Dan Brown, who won just recently. Matt Fitzpatrick, who played really well this week at the Renaissance. Fleetwood, Hatton, Aaron Rye, Matt Jordan, Justin Rose, who also played well. Malcolm, you probably saw him. Jordan Smith, Matt Wallace, Lee Westwood qualified. I don't know, Dundonald, I believe he played the qualifying. Bob McIntyre. Who didn't do so well last week. I guess the whole thing, media thing with the defending champion.
Oh.
And Tom.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Oh. He's better than Brian Harman, so he's the best lefty in the world.
Oh, well, there you go. We got
right. Absolutely right.
I totally forgot about that. He was a lefty. McIntyre is the best lefty in the world. Mr. Duck.
Well, Max Fitzpatrick played pretty well, looked fairly cool, but I'm not going with him because he parted company with Billy Foster, and he said, "Billy, I need a word. We're finished." It was about 20 seconds.
Huh.
So I don't like that. I think that's pretty poor. So I'm not going with Max Fitzpatrick. I'm going again with Justin Rose. You know, he finished second in the Masters. He finished second at the Open with Fuchs back in his bag. They played well. He knows Link's course. He's got a very wise head. He's got a very solid caddy with him. I'd love to go with Bobby McIntyre because he's Scottish, and I think Bobby will either do very well or I don't know what happened this week. But again, what he did very well in the last 2 days, not in contention. He spent a lot of time promoting Scotland and being very good with the fans, you know, in the runs and high-fiving the kids and so on and so forth, which if you looked at Rory McIlroy, he did that in the pro-ams. He was very focused when he was walking through the tunnels, didn't touch anyone's eyes. And that's not a knock. He was just very focused, whereas Bob, I think, was more focused on being a Scot in Scotland. And right. But he could come through. But I think Max Fitzpatrick playing really well. Yeah. See how he goes. But said why not for that. So I'm going to go with Rosie. Mm-hmm. I would just love to see Rosie winning it. Yeah. I really would.
Is Billy Foster on Morikawa's bag?
Correct.
There you go. That's some story about how we're finished. That's wow.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting because actually the head marshal is a very good friend of Billy Foster's and Matt's, and Matt's parents were trying to get into the members area and John just said no. Which is maybe a bit harsh, but.
Yeah, well, you know, you make your own bed, you lay in it. Right. Mr. Ogren, the GB and I, you can go Chinese menu or you can give us a name.
No, I mean, looking down, is there a little bit more to the list?
That's it.
Past McKibben, no?
No, that's it.
So again, ranked choice voting on my part. New York City just had ranked choice voting, and they elected some weirdo to represent the Democrats in New York. So it's just like, but if I had to make picks, the way I would rank them is Tommy, then Fitz, then Aaron Rye, then Bobby Mack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Tommy was taken off the board, I would take Fitz. If Fitz was off the board, I'd take Rye. But because of the way that we're doing it, I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood to finally fulfill the promise that we've had for him for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Has it been at least 10 years?
It
seems like it.
It certainly feels like it.
I use this golf swing every day. I say, look, this is kind of how you're supposed to swing a golf club.
Right.
I almost use it every day.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pretty good model. It's, you know, we can go ahead and think about this one here. So I think, he didn't play enough break on that putt in Connecticut, mm-hmm. but he played really good golf.
Yep. And I'm sure all four of you can say something to it, but maybe Malcolm first. What does it take? What skill in particular does it take to play links golf, as opposed to what they play every other week?
Really interesting talking to DJ about it. You know, how the bounce works on your irons. Actually, DJ had Jordan Spieth's wedge from a while ago. There's virtually no bounce on it at all. And you hit it hard and it's almost dead. It hits, you know, for short shots, really good. Cam Smith, when he won the Open at St. Andrews, changed all his wedges after Renaissance. So Jack used to go to the beach and hit balls off the wet sand to learn to clip it. You've really got to have a clean strike on links golf. You've also got to understand how to play chip and runs, not just throwing it in the air all the time. So I think people who've been brought up with that will have a bit of an advantage. Greens are similar. So you got to have a variety of shots. And if it's windy, you got to know how to keep it low.
Mm-hmm.
If you can only throw it up. And if you look at the older players on the tour, they know how to do that. I remember playing with Roger Davis and some young pros, and they just couldn't hit the shots Roger hits. So the ability to keep it under the wind and hit a shot knowing where to pitch and let it release is really important. If you're just really good at throwing it in, you're going to struggle. So I think guys who've been around the bazaar a bit longer will understand that. I think some of the amateurs, the younger guys who are just fearless, maybe that helps them and they adjust. But I really think the ability to control the ball coming into the green is paramount. Privilege of walking around Carnoustie with Jack, Tom Watson, and I've just forgotten his name. He died last year, a great player, commentator. Come back to me. And he was talking through links golf and his 18-hole playoff, and he was saying, you in links golf, you've got to go for the middle of the green. If you start going for pins, you're toast. You only start going for pins when you have to. And also understanding that long is possibly better than short, because a lot of the bunkers are at the front of the green rather than the back. So I think links golf is different, and if you embrace it and enjoy it, then fine. But if you don't embrace it and you're not enjoying it, then I think some of the guys struggle with that because they're trying to work out how to adjust their games. And but again, I said the last one we did, anyone in that field can win this because they're all so good. They're all so good,
But
and in the right mental frame. Yeah, but I think having played a bit of links, that's why I went some of the picks earlier on. And they know the course. To go with the two Irish guys, it's home turf for them, and they're great golfers.
And David, I think I remember you saying that one of the reasons you show your kids Tommy Fleetwood is because he can hit the ball low.
Yeah, he hits a shot that I call hit hard, stop fast. Really a truncated, abbreviated follow through that just keeps the ball out of the air. And my experience in links golf, in competition, again, would be leaving links, Prestwick, St. Nicholas, and Troon, is that you got to figure out a way to ingest a whole bunch of four leaf clovers because those bouncers got to get lucky.
And I think that
There is a much better element of luck involved in links golf, but then there's a skill involved in the luck because you got to know where that safe spot is. You don't always get to just smash it down the middle of the fairway. And I just remembering playing Troon. It just I hit it in one fairway bunker in 2 days. And I thought I played brilliantly, still missed the cut.
I mean, you look at when Tom Watson didn't win it at
2010.
he hit he said that day he hit an 8 iron in, and if he had the same shot to hit again, he would have hit an 8 iron in. He was just unlucky because it's the only part of the green they hadn't managed to soften out and get sorted. It was the only very like a foot square, and it was hard. He hit that and it bounced through. And the other thing with that is also mentally being able to deal with the fact it's not gone where you want to go, and understand that shot's gone, and be able to hit it again, and not be down.
I'm going to say another secret to playing links golf well is to be able to hit 410 yard drives.
Does help.
Mr. Ogren? Yeah. Malcolm, David was just telling a story before how he hit a four, his the longest drive of his life in that Troon, I believe it was, right?
Yep, 16th hole.
410 yards at, I don't know how old you were, but you were old. Mr. Burley.
Yeah, going back to the links golf thing. I mean, I had my best ever time on a golf course at North Berwick in 2015, and
Yes.
it was a four club wind. And it's kind of just one of those things where you're put in a situation where you just all references are just completely obliterated. But you kind of learn to deal with it. I mean, I remember hit in a 3 wood into, I think it's the fourth hole, the par three. Couldn't get just got it onto the front edge of the green, and then on the back nine with wind helping, hole 15, no 14, hit 190 meter 9 iron over the green. It's just one of those things where you've got to be prepared for every eventuality. You've got to learn how to control your spin. You've got to be prepared for all kinds of things. There's a very playful aspect to it, which I quite like. But yeah, I think when you're actually kind of looking at who's the best ball striker, that kind of thing, who can control the ball flight, it again, even if you can do that, you are going to get some kind of strange bounces. It's going to land in some strange little, dip in the fairway that could makes it, shoot forward 30 meters. So yeah, I mean, I think that Tommy Fleetwood, He's my pick. You didn't have Marco Pengin there. I was hoping to have Marco Pengin there somewhere. Big hitting guy. But yeah, Tommy Fleetwood.
That North Berwick course, and that's classic there because you've got a four club win going out.
Yeah,
when you go to the par three, oh, you've got crazy. A four club win behind you. You've got an eight club change.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I birdied the pit, and I kind of hit it almost pin high with my drive. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Lynx Golf. I remember the Ocean Coast of Kiowa when you make that turn to the last three or four or five holes, 12 or 13, it's the same thing, and just incredible. Mr. Olafsson, you are in the GB and I category, but maybe first tell us your thoughts on Lynx Golf.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed so quickly when the weather get bad. I mean, when the wind gets up, it's a different game. I mean, I was in the 2005, I think, British Open in St. Andrews when Tiger Woods won. And Colin Montgomery was hitting the ball so well. He was having the best game ever. And I still, if I remember right, he lost with eight shots or something to Tiger. Tiger didn't hit a one fairway bunker. He used a lot of irons. But everybody has played St. Andrews. You know, it's not enough just to strike it well. You have to be in the right spots on the green.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just... I played that course once, and I had 40 putts on that 18 holes, and I'm a good putter, and I hit more than 18 greens in regulation. I think I like hit two par fives and hit the 10th in one. But on the 17th, I mean, I was on the green, but the caddy said the best putt you have is going to end 4 or 5 meters from the hole. That's links. The only option you have is or 5 meters from the hole.
Yeah,
it's a completely different game. And then, as you say, you hit wrong side of the little, thing, and it just bounces wherever. We saw that when, we've seen that so much. And so, of course, the luck is going to be something, but you have to be very patient, and you have to think outside the box. You have to be able to think outside the box.
Yep.
But my pick for the this guy is Tommy Fleetwood. No question about it. He's the best player, I think. He needs to step up now get in contention. He needs to get in contention and show the world he can finish some tournaments off.
We got three Fleetwoods and a Rose, and I'm going to go, and I can't really tell you why, but I'm going to go with Bobby McIntyre, because I just love that guy. And although I was pretty impressed to tell you that how Lee Westwood qualified, and I was watching it because we had a guy on the show by the name of Niklas Adank, who is a German player on the Pro Golf Tour here. And he tried to qualify at the same place. He was the only German in final qualifying. And Westwood, apparently, you know, he's over 50, right? I mean, he put together 36 holes in a day of some top golf. So I'm surprised nobody picked Mr. Hatton. But hat on, hat off to you guys. All right, we got the last two categories. This... will be a permanent category in these RotoFests coming, the Scandi Hooligans. And I have enough Scandi Hooligan friends, so that word definitely rings true. We've got an extra Højgaard in here who qualified, but he will be in the wildcard category, along with Mr. Penge, who will also be there at number 101. Where you pick everyone else that's not on the list, no matter who. Scandi Hooligans, we got Rasmus, we got Thunder Bear Olafsson from Denmark. We got another Olafsson from Denmark. I don't think they're related. We got Victor, we got Christopher Reitan, who is making quite a name for himself on the European Tour. We got Ludwig, and we got Mr. Soderberg and Jesper Svensson from Sweden. Mr. Duck, What do you make of these Scandinavians?
They're all good. I mean, I'm between Victor and Mr. Aberg, but I think I'm going for Victor. I just like how he plays, and yeah, he's very very calm, and yeah, I'm really good, particularly good reasoning, because I mean, Ludwig Aberg's, you know, playing pretty well. He's gonna come through. I mean, they're all pretty good players. So I'm gonna go for Victor. I think I went for him last time as well. I think yeah, he's just a class act.
So, they know, no great science, just
hunch.
Yep. Hunches are good. David, Scandahooligans.
So again, looking over this list.
You really did some homework this time.
I did. I did. I prepared for this one.
I'm thrilled.
Yes. I got finished at noon, and I had an hour and a half to kill. So now I thought we had a local rule in the golf show that if you get Rasmus, you get Nikolai too.
This was the whole premise of this new format.
See, if you get Rasmus, you get Nikolai too.
So you take
DNA.
I ranked them how I would pick them: Rasmus, Victor, and Ludwig. I don't know why Ludwig seems off. I watched him hit a couple shots on TV this week, and it didn't look the same as it looked when he was coming right out of Texas Tech. So I don't know if he's been working with somebody to make him better. Mm. It looked a little different, but I'm going to go with Rasmus and just assume that Nikolai's coming with him.
I'm going to put Hoy Guards for you there with an S. Malcolm, did you see Ludwig hit a few shots this week?
I saw a bit. I mean, to be honest, the job I do, you're bouncing around a buggy looking at ropes and crossings and all sorts, so I didn't see a lot of golf. I also normally get time to spend a bit of time on the range, which I didn't get to do. So I didn't see a huge amount. I mean, most of the guys I've talked about, I saw, I mean, I didn't see much of them, sadly.
Yeah, but I think David's making a good point. I mean, I don't really know anything about the golf swing, and I will prove that to Brother Burley on Friday.
Yeah, please.
He seems off, Ludwig, in one way or another. I don't know if he's in love or whatever it is, but something's not as bouncy and flowy. Maybe Adi knows about Ludwig. Adi, you want to go next on this on the Scandahooligans? I know it's your favorite.
Yeah, because you're speaking about Ludwig, I'm gonna pick him because he didn't play that badly, and he played quite well actually last week.
Mm-hmm.
He finished 9 under, I think. I think it was tied 8 or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was actually I favor Victor a little bit in that tournament, but it may be because the expectations are a little bit off with Ludwig. Maybe he's got a little bit more peace and rest, and we know his capability of hitting this golf ball is unbelievable. So yeah, maybe I think this just could be very his tournament. I think that could be. He hasn't played any the majors well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
in him.
83 in him. For Mr. Olafsson, please.
83
is putting together quite a dinner. Brother Burley.
Yeah, my favorite player since that European Tour event in Belgium is Christopher Leitan. I think that guy is something special. He's fearless. He can go really low. He's not afraid of anything. And I mean, what an impressive... I mean, he's just a birdie machine, that guy.
Hmm. Young guy? I don't know much about him.
Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, he's literally been tearing it up in the last, like, 6 weeks. He went from, like, you know, nobody to, like, in the top 25 in, like, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep.
That's crazy.
His name is always there, and he's always on TV.
He's unreal. Really cool guy, very, 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 very amazing long hair on the golf course. Yeah,
long hair.
Yeah,
yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the guy in this group who I think will win the tournament, and that's Mr. Hovland. I love that guy just like I like Bobby Mack, but I think it's his time, and he was the first. I really think he's going to win this tournament. If I had the number one pick in the old format, I would pick him. And we go to the final category, which is a category of wild cards that yours truly put together with some of the big names that are not in any of the other categories. Mr. Bhatia, who has kind of disappeared a little bit. The U.S. Ryder Cup captain, Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Cantlay. Nobody's talking about him lately. Jason Day, Thomas Detry from Belgium, Harris English, who... I wouldn't be surprised if Bradley picked him for the Ryder Cup because he's a very solid player. Ricky Fowler, Russell Henley, who was up there. Stefan Jäger, I had to put a German in there. Brooks is teeing it up. Minwoo Lee, Sepp Straka, Sahith Theegala, who has also disappeared a little bit, and JT, Justin Thomas, and then... you can pick 101, everyone not on this entire list. That means you get whoever finishes the best from the people who is not on the list, including this Penge guy, who is also pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will go first to take the pressure off. And I was shocked to see that this man is all of a sudden the number four player in the world. So I'm going with Justin Thomas in this category. Mr. Ogren.
Well, you know, if you had to pick a category to win the Open, you would take this category.
There you go.
I mean, the listed list you have here is really good. To both Akshay and Sahith, I suggest to them strongly that they come to the David Ogren Golf Academy and learn how to putt.
There you go. Will Mr. Mangum be there?
Maybe, maybe not. He's always with me in spirit.
Does he live in a tent? Or does he have a house?
He has a house.
Oh, okay. I love that.
Yeah, he has a house. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't have like half of North Carolina. with a couple of Native Americans growing cash crop out in the middle of the forest.
There you go.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least. But saying that about my two American friends, there is a guy that when I checked out his statistics is very high in driving and very high in putting, which shocked me. And so while I like all these guys, I'm going to take Aldrich Pottgeter as my wild card.
You're taking 101, everyone in the field.
Yeah, and I'm 101.1 is Aldrich.
There you go. We'll put that down.
Because we talk about he's driving it long, he's driving it relatively straight. If he gets a little bit lucky and putts like he's been putting, it's like the course is really short for him. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you don't have to worry about a whole lot of bounces. Mm-hmm. Right, if you're hitting a pitching wedge or a gap wedge, you don't have to worry about a lot of bounces, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the South African, it's interesting.
And with that, gentlemen, my 3 o'clock is here.
Oh, how lucky is your 3 o'clock?
My 3 o'clock is actually a pretty good stick. He's a conscientious amateur golfer who has a home simulator that he practices in.
Wow.
He plays in 3 money games a week, and he's a really good student. He's a student of the game.
There you go.
He likes all the bits and pieces that I picked up along the way.
There you go. Mr. Hogan, thank you for being here, sir.
Yes, and thank you, Malcolm and Stuart and Adi. Enjoyed chatting with you guys. And I'm going to continue to work on my project, Adi.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. The Iceland project.
The Iceland project. Yeah. Right? I mean, I can't tell you how impressed I was with Iceland when my wife and I went back there in 2022. I just thought it was great. And we went in late October, and so the weather had already turned, right? But it was just spectacular.
There you go.
Just everybody was so nice, and the church just was wow. I love that church.
So can't wait to hear about that trip. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye, guys.
Right. Hey, David.
Mr. Duck.
It's a really difficult
it is.
List that. So many good players. But just being a bit of a curmudgeon, I quite like Harris English is from the USA and he's playing in Ireland. So my reasoning is it'd be quite fun for an American Englishman to win in Ireland. So I'm going to go for Harris English. I mean, Harris is kind of a Scottish name, you know.
Yeah.
Harris, he's got a lot going on there, and he's a damn good golfer. You know, he's been up and round about, as yep. you say. He's got to be in contention for Ryder Cup.
He's definitely making the cut.
I'd love to see Ricky Fowler coming back.
Yep.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see Ricky Fowler coming back.
In the 101 spot, we also have Matti Schmidt, who qualified quite spectacularly. Did you have a chance to meet Craig Miller?
I didn't because I just wasn't on the range.
Yeah.
And the guys are busy doing things. So next year, we'll have to tie up a time to catch out or maybe have dinner afterwards. Or
absolutely.
Again, you know, that week, you know.
Yeah. Are you going up to Portrush?
I'm not. No, I'm a week there and I've seen everyone this week.
And Craig, what I love about, and you guys know Craig, and he's cruising Instagram with the hashtag proud coach. I mean, that says it all to me, what this guy's all about. So Harris English for the Scotsman in Ireland for the Open. That's a very, very interesting pick. Mr. Burley is there.
I want to make it quick, Frank, because I want to see my wife. I haven't seen her all day. I've got to get.
You're married?
Yeah, I've got to walk my dog. I'm going to go with Sepp Straka.
I mean, you're going for Straka. You know, he kind of looks like you.
He does a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I love it.
Apart from the fact that he's in form.
Mr. Olason, take us home.
Yeah, I mean, this tournament. It's full of surprises all the time. I mean, we got some winners that are very, you know, nobody expect. I mean, through the years. So, but most of the time, it's a little bit older players that surprises and winning. But I think this time we're gonna see something different. And it's so many. I just want to see one German flag on my list, so I'm going to take Matti Schmidt.
Take 101 as well. Team.
And so he's going to be the my fill, but everything is possible in this tournament. Everything.
Well, and this show, the feedback we've gotten from it, I mean, it's RotoFest 19, but since this new format. The notes we get of people enjoying the broadcast just because of what you guys have to share and players like Christopher Reitano, you know, that they've never heard of, has been phenomenal. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It makes me proud every time you guys come, and we'll have fun watching it. Announcement, Brother Burley, Friday, babe.
See you Friday, Frankie.
But now that you're married, that's a whole different story.
I've been married for 20 years, Frank.
I was married once for 25.
I want to stay married.
That didn't work. Malcolm, Stuart, and Adi, thank you guys. You are the best. We will see you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. To the link.
Okay, see you, Frank.